Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Human Technology Podcast. To find something to talk about this week was comparably easy for me. Usually my LinkedIn posts get some like 20 likes, 20 comments, between maybe 2,000, 3,000 impressions. Last week I had one that went viral, that got 200,000 impressions, 200 likes, almost 200 comments. So more than 10 times, or even if as far as the impressions concerned, more than 100 times more than I usually have. And for me, it seems like I have hit the nail on the head. I have found something that is interesting, that is under discussion, that is controversial. So it screams for a podcast episode. I try to keep my LinkedIn posts short, snappy, down to the point, which does not allow me to go into all detail and does not allow me to have different views on the certain topic. So I'm taking this opportunity and the half an hour that I give myself and that I give you in a podcast episode. So I'm going to make a podcast episode about the role of Chinese vehicles on German markets, specifically in European markets in general. And if you have not read this LinkedIn post, here it is. So that we're all on the same level, here it is. So headline, Chinese cars, nowhere to be seen on German roads. Despite billions in investments and solid products, the Chinese manufacturer's assault on the German market is fizzling out. The reason is simple. They don't understand the market. Instead of building real brand identity, they rely on British-sounding fantasy names, low prices, and interchangeable designs. German car buyers don't want anonymous budget imports. They want character, heritage, trust, a story that reaches them emotionally. Anyone who thinks they can win over Germany with brand light and discounts is destined to fall spectacularly. Quality is just the entry ticket. Without emotional connection, every car remains unsold inventory. Market strategy is not a copy and paste job. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to deliver more than just a good product. It's all about how to make technology sexy. What do you think? Will the Chinese OEMs make it in the next years? Is the German market too small to be important? Is there an opportunity for German car makers? That was the post that gained 200,000 impressions and 200 reactions and almost 200 comments. And basically there were two types of reactions. About two-thirds of them agree with me. About one-third disagree, which is Absolutely okay. I know this post was controversial. I had known this up front, and it was a bit provocative. So I somehow triggered negative feedbacks as well, which I believe is absolutely okay. I can only learn from these. If everybody says, yes, I agree and fully okay with that, and yes, you met my point, and then this does not bring me anyhow forward. I prefer to get into a discussion, into an exchange. And if at the very end of the day, I agree with someone that we disagree, absolutely fine with that. Some of these comments were mocking. Yeah, you'll see it, or don't be so sure. Some said, I see lots of Chinese cars on German roads. That may be true. That is probably true for that one particular person. Keep in mind, it's subjective and distorted. If we focus on Chinese cars and we see a Chinese car, that triggers a reaction in our brain. So we remember that very well, that we have seen 999 non-Chinese cars before we see one Chinese car. That is forgotten. That is white noise in our brains. Yeah? That's lost. So, but when we say, okay, when I see Chinese cars, we see Chinese cars. We talk about Chinese cars. We see Chinese cars on roads. And so I much more rely on statistics. And if you see the statistics, they have a very small market share in Germany. So three topics for the podcast. We have had a situation many years ago that was comparable to the one we have. And that was when the Japanese and the Korean OEMs started entering the German market. And so we can have a look. How was it with the Japanese and the Koreans? That's the first point of the podcast. And little spoiler, I believe the Chinese will go a similar way, probably a bit faster than Japanese and Japan and Korea. Have a quick look at the current situations. What are Chinese cars in Germany? And what are Chinese cars, let's say, in Germany, cars developed in China and cars with a Chinese brand and produced in China. And then there are companies that belong to Chinese companies, but that develop and produce at least partially in Europe. And without having a crystal ball on my desk, I will talk how things may develop in the future. So let's start with a look into the past, the entry of the Japanese and Korean manufacturers into the German market. Let's start with Japan. They began expanding into Europe in the late 1950s. So facing political, economical, and cultural hurdles. Nissan began exporting to Europe in 1957, Toyota in 1963. The first car they had at the European market was the Crown. During the 1970s oil crisis, Japanese cars gained certain popularity due to their fuel efficiency and reliability. And the challenges the Japanese faced at that time were protectionism and political resistance. Despite the rising demand, Japanese manufacturers faced these trade barriers. European countries restricted imports through quotas, basically to protect their domestic industry. France even temporarily banned Japanese car imports as a whole. To bypass these barriers and to stay close to their key markets, the Japanese brands invested in local production comparably early. Nissan opened a factory in Sunderland in the United Kingdom in 1986, which turned out into one of Europe's most efficient car plants. Honda started their production in 1985 in Swindon, also United Kingdom. And Mitsubishi joined the Netcar factory in the Netherlands in 1991, fully took it over 10 years later, and another 10, 11 years later, they stopped the production there. So they had the chance, Japanese brands took the chance to join or to build strategic alliances as Nissan and Mitsubishi with Renault to co-develop and produce vehicles. Problems at that time, Mitsubishi withdrew from the European market in 2020, returned today, basically making batch engineering on Renault models. Honda closed the Swindon plant in 2021, basically based on the Brexit, because they had not been sure whether Great Britain, whether the UK is still part of the European Union and gets all the advantages of producing in the European Union. And Nissan is facing financial pressures, not only in Europe, but also in Japan. The Sunderland factory remains open, but Nissan is reassessing the European activities, the European strategies, due to the financial problems they're having. The market entry of the Japanese OEM is a story of adaption and resilience. With local production, with various partnerships, with high flexibilities, they gained a significant market share, although they faced hurdles and problems in the very beginning. So let's see how this works out, but I see Japanese OEMs comparably stable on European markets. The story with South Korea is very similar, pretty much the same. It started 20 years later, 20 years after the Japanese OEM started getting into Europe in the late 70s. The first Korean cars came, first of all, Hyundai and Kia. SsangYong is not that present in Europe, but basically it's Hyundai and Kia. And Hyundai and Kia became a real success story. In the beginning, they had the same problems like the Japanese, with missing image, missing quality, high hurdles, trade challenges. Okay, so let's get a little more into details. In the early steps, Hyundai exported the Hyundai Pony to Europe in 1978, in the UK in 1982. Kia followed in 1991 with a Pride, which was a Mazda 1-to-1 produced under licenses. South Korean brands faced poor quality and design perceptions. It was a perception, not reality. They had problems with the emission regulation, with the safety rules, and again with high tariffs that were put on these cars. To bypass these barriers and to localize their products, Hyundai built European production and design centers. The European Design Center of Hyundai is near Frankfurt in Rüsselsheim, basically opposite of the Opel factory. They also have a research place, a human factors usability research place in downtown Frankfurt. They opened a plant in Nosovice in the Czech Republic, where they, and in 2008, where they produced today the i30, the Tucson, and some other cars. Kia opened a plant in Žilina in Slovakia in 2006, where 10 years later, they had more than 2.5 million units produced. Yeah, as I said, both companies have design and R&D centers near Frankfurt. So to get a good access to European users, your European preferences, and to European markets. So to summarize, same story as with the Japanese, with investments, with adaptions, with innovation, with local presence, South Korean brands successfully embedded themselves in Europe. And as the Japanese, I can see that they have a bright future in front of them. So let's move on. Since we had a look in the past now, as I already said, I believe the Chinese will go a similar path. Let's have a look at the current situation. Chinese cars in Europe. 5 points on this one. Five aspects. China is an car export powerhouse. In 2023, China became the world's leading car exporter, about 5 million exported vehicles, which is 10 times more than in 2019. So they have 10 times more exports within 4 years. China has a very strong focus on electric vehicles. They call them NEVs, new energy vehicles. Chinese brands like BYD, NIO, MG, they are electric drivetrain focused, electric drivetrain centric. And BYD, Build Your Dreams, overtook Tesla and battery output in 2024. So they are producing more battery-driven cars, battery-based powertrains than Tesla did. Despite strong export, Chinese brands have less than 3% market shares in Europe. MG is a little bit of a success story, BYD, but all the rest is very low. Sometimes the statistics have an own category for the single brands, but they are collected under REST or under Chinese brands. China starts local production. Companies like the Chery plant, plan European factories. They are thinking about taking over a former Nissan plant near Barcelona in Spain. So they start setting up local production. There are political trade obstacles. The European Union announced tariffs of 35-38% to certain Chinese EV brands to counter unfair competition. And this is something that is very hard to understand. The Chinese government wants Chinese car makers to be successful, and so they support them, not directly but indirectly. Hard to see. They have to pay lower prices for real estate to build their factories on. They have advantages in labor laws. They have advantages in tax. So things that are not obvious. They're not paying money directly to them, and so on the other hand, they're supporting it to build up that automotive industry. And to counterbalance that, the European Union decided to put tax onto Chinese electric vehicles. As a conclusion, China's auto industry is rapidly expanding, particularly focusing on electric vehicles. For Japan and Korea, it took decades to establish themselves on the European market. China targets for a much faster pace and a much faster integration into the European markets. Based on tech that they apply, Chinese electric cars are basically computers on wheels, and it's all about software. They try to beat it with prices, and they take the path like the Japanese and the Korean. They build local factories. Probably they will also start. I know that Avatar, for example, has a design center, has an R&D center in Munich. And so they will make it. They will take basically the same path. Chinese brands are now where Japanese brands were in the early 80s, Korean brands in the late 90s. But as I said, as far as I know the Chinese and see the Chinese, they will be faster if they can really apply China speed sustainably in Europe. Remains questionable, but they will be awfully fast. Little footnote here. They have a domestic challenge as well. So brands that we see today in Europe may disappear in a foreseeable time frame. They have a cutthroat competition in China. Yeah, the new China's NEV market, new energy vehicles market, is fragmented. They have more than 100 brands coming from 300 brands. Yeah, the competition is brutal. There's a brutal price war with low margins, and many players, many companies have already exited the market, and there will be more brands leaving the market. I can foresee that 2025, maybe 30 brands out of China will survive. Many of them will not come to Europe, so at the end we may see 10, maybe 15 Chinese brands in Europe. But time will tell whether that is true. Undoubtedly, China is leading in electric vehicles as far as innovation and sales is concerned. They have the political support, but still face some headwinds in getting into the market. A little closer look to a couple of brands that I would like to have. Build Your Dreams, BYD. They are building a plant in Szeged in Hungary, probably this year's start of production. They plan another plant in Turkey for next year. And they have a bus factory in Komárom, also in Hungary. Clear? Hungary is part of the European Union, so they are seen as local here. Turkey is not part of the European Union, but has easier market access than other countries into European countries. Chery plans to take over the Nissan factory in Barcelona. They want to produce Omoda and Jaku models there. NIO have a design and branding center near Munich, just like Avatar. They are located there. I know a couple of people that work there, and they tell me a lot about China's speed, even in these German locations. And NIO has this battery swapping philosophy that you do not charge your battery, but you drive to a certain location. Today it would be something like a gas station, then there is a battery station. And instead of charging the battery, you get a new one, freshly charged. And the production of the infrastructure, the tools you need to run these battery swapping station, that is also located in Hungary. Geely, representing brands like Zeekr, Link and Co., Lotus, but also the European-focused brands Volvo and Polestar. They have R&D centers in Germany and Sweden. Sweden, of course, that's the old Volvo. Well, that is the Volvo factories, the Volvo R&D centers. They're using their Lotus, has both in Great Britain and England a location, but also in near Frankfurt in Germany. And Geely uses the production footprint that Volvo has built over years and years in Europe. What are the key issues Chinese OEMs are facing today? The first one is low brand awareness. They have half of the Germans cannot name a single Chinese auto brand. So BYD is known by about 22% of Germans, NIO 13%, MG 25%. Basically, I think the high value, high result for MG is based on the fact that this is an old British sports car brand. And many people will believe that this is still the old British sports car brand, although it isn't. There are safety and quality concerns. Whether they are true or not, that's a different question, but the perception in European markets based on early failures in crash tests is negative. Limited services and limited dealer networks. The networks of the Chinese OEMs are thin. So German users have problems. They have concerns about the maintenance and the spare parts supply of for their cars. Privacy and politics is another point. Data privacy, data concerns, political reservations. In a survey, over 50% of Germans reject Chinese electric vehicles based on these political and data privacy reasons. And this is a core point, the residual value uncertainty. Nobody knows how this will develop. And to me, it seems like Chinese OEMs produce their car for a far shorter lifetime than German car producers do this. And nobody knows when I drive a Chinese car for 5 years, how much value is left there. For how much money can I sell if I buy a new car for 50,000 euros, dollars, pounds, here in Europe, and I drive it for 5 years, how much will I get? And I know that for a BMW or an Audi and a Mercedes with not too much mileage on the clock, you get about the third to maybe even 40% of the original value after 5 years today. That was different in the past, but today that is a realistic value. Maybe in Chinese cars, it's just 10% or 5%. They have zero value, and we can see this in the electric car market, that used electric cars are almost unsellable. They don't find a market. So this is these are the points that are critical for user expectance in Europe. But there are also positive trends. 60% of all Germans would consider a Chinese electric vehicle if it is high tech and if the price is correct. So the combination of advanced technology, of edge of the market, of real advanced software, connectivity, and low prices, this combination is appealing to Germans, to Europeans in general. The increased market presence is important. So more investment in local plants and local service networks, that is positive. And if the Chinese expand their development, their R&D and design activities and understand the European market and the European users better, then this will help a lot. All right, quick outlook. As I said, I don't have a crystal ball on my table. What will happen? Basically the same as with the Japanese and the Korean car makers, the Chinese OEMs will kick off or have already kicked off local production to bypass the tariffs and to have a local footprint. Now they're building factories in Hungary and Turkey. BYD is even thinking about a factory in Germany. Second strategy, adapting to local preferences. BYD plans to launch plug-in hybrids in Germany to meet the demands in Germany. So German users prefer plug-in hybrids to sheer electric cars at the moment. So that could be a strategy to do that. And also building up local R&D centers with local staff understanding how Germans are ticking, how we are working, how we are thinking about this, and how they can enter the German market by meeting German needs exactly. So I just read in an article that Chinese have not understood that the fleet business is important in Germany, so that you need leasings, that you need fleet strategies to be present in German markets. And the innovation part. Battery swapping by NIO, something like this. Whether it will work out or not is a totally different story, but it's innovative. Connectivity, artificial intelligence, highly interactive, glass surfaces. This is all innovations that will come out of China and that will change the perception of European users on Chinese brands. So experts predict Chinese electric vehicles could hit a 12% market share in 2027. Maybe that is already the peak China moment. Nobody knows it. The long-term success will depend on local adaption, on trust building, and on accepting the European, the local regulations. So, from my point of view, Chinese car brands have a high potential in Europe, particularly electric vehicles, high-tech, high-end vehicles, as far as connectivity, artificial intelligence, digitalization is concerned. Chinese OEMs will start local investments or have already started it. They will be more consumer-centric, European consumer-centric. They will remain very innovative, and with that, I see a fair chance that they will grow their presence. But they must, first of all, overcome image problems, regulatory challenges, and they have to fight out their local market to have stable brands and stable supplies. So far, the, let's say, detailed version of my LinkedIn post that went viral last week. Let me know your thoughts. Am I totally wrong, or do I meet your ideas and your projections of the role of Chinese electric vehicles, Chinese OEMs in Europe and Germany? That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.